This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the Worldwide Wave.
It's Worldwide Wave time, and a very special Worldwide Wave tonight as we bring you our very first show from the Victorian Pride Centre. Now, it's not open to the public yet. We're in here getting used to the new digs, getting that new studio smell, Stefan. I've not smelt that before.
It is the brand new smell, like a new car smell, really.
It is amazing, I have to say. It's Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for and by the LGBTI community. We love taking you around the globe, one queer story at a time. Now, I'm Matt, and as we said, we're down in St Kilda at the Pride Centre, and Stefan and I are trying out the new digs, really.
With a little bit of anxiety.
Let's just see how it goes. But I can tell you, we have got a fantastic interview tonight, out of the ordinary country that we haven't been to before, and a really fantastic guest.
At first glance, you might think a country that decriminalised homosexual acts in 1822 might be quite progressive. After all, it took until 1997 for every Australian state to have achieved this. But in the Caribbean country of the Dominican Republic, nothing could be further from the truth. Like religion, LGBT discrimination is the part of daily life. But there is a concerted effort to make change.
One person who has lived and loved Dominican Republic is Anna Maureen Lara. Anna Maureen authored the book Streetwalking, LGBTQ Lives and Protest in the Dominican Republic. Anna Maureen was born in the Dominican Republic to a diplomat and a poet, and is now both an activist and a poet herself. Here's a taste of what's coming up tonight.
Gay men have been incredibly critical in the fight against HIV on the island. It's because of gay men that I think that the general population has access to HIV medications, because of all the advocacy and all the hard work that gay men did to get HIV on the map and to say, no, this is not just something that affects us, this affects everybody. And so really putting themselves out there in terms of legislation and political activism.
A streetwalker is a common term for a sex worker, which makes an even more unlikely focus of a book about Catholic-dominated country of the Dominican Republic. Yet it has been reclaimed by the LGBTI community to be a word of power and a word of change. Anna Maureen Lara is a lesbian poet, novelist, and feminist scholar. She's also an LGBT activist and has written a book called Streetwalking, LGBTQ Lives and Protest in the Dominican Republic. We started by asking Anna Maureen to explain her connection with the LGBT community in the Dominican Republic.
I should start by saying that I lived in the Dominican Republic until I was about 6 years old. So I left when I was very, very young, and I came back as an adult, and most of my relationships with LGBTQ activists took place when I became an adult. So when I stepped into my own queerness and then started looking for other people sometime around age 20. And what I can say is that even as an adult, the Dominican Republic is a really interesting place, because it's a place that enables a great deal of expressive diversity at the same time that it represses difference. So there's this constant contradiction between what happens in families and communities and then what happens in the society in general, right? So there's a high degree of, on the society in general, there's a high degree of social conformity that's expected. But in our families and our communities, there's a lot of respect for difference. And so that tension is something that I've always been really curious about. And I'm not the only one, right? Other gay scholars and writers have also sought to explore it, this dynamic and this tension and what it means to be simultaneously like respected for your difference and then experience, you know, punitive measures or be made fun of on the street or not be given jobs, right? Or even being ridiculed at school. So I don't think it's necessarily as clear cut as, you know, that the Dominican Republic or that Dominican society is 100% homophobic and transphobic. I think that it's actually the tension arises somehow around the kinds of expressions, the ways in which people move through the society, and then questions of class, questions of passing, all of these dynamics, they all play a part. And then to say very clearly that the Dominican state and its institutions uphold very strongly Christian colonial ideas of personhood.
For the church obviously has a major role in the life. What does that look like on a daily basis? How does the church influence just general daily? It's not just going to church on Sunday. It has an impact on daily life.
That's right. So the church is unofficially part of the government, right, through the Concordat in 1954 with the Vatican. So the Catholic Church explicitly has an active role with the government. What that means is that public education is Catholic. It means that certain members of the Catholic Church, like the cardinal or the archbishop, have military posts, so they have military titles. It means like that the church gets to have an opinion on parliamentary legislation, right? On the legislative processes and laws and legal codes, and actively participates in shaping the law and legislation and public policy. It means that, for example, to have access to certain spaces, you have to have been baptized in the Catholic Church. Sometimes to even register in certain schools or to be employed. And it means that, and I should have said that in 2006, those rights extended to Christian denominations. So evangelicals, Jehovah's Witnesses, a law extended those rights to non-Catholic Christian communities. And for example, just the kind of day-to-day interactions where it's very normal for someone to say, you know, God bless you and amen when they open the door for you, you know, like that Christmas is normalized, right, as like the only and sole religious holiday. That for Holy Week, the government and the city shuts down, that that national holidays are not just like political holidays, they're also Catholic holidays. So things like that. It's through and through.
Now, homosexual acts have been legal since 1822, I think, in the Dominican Republic. And, you know, the rainbow community is still experiencing discrimination. What form does that take, and what is behind that?
Sure. So discrimination is encoded in ideas of public morality. So in difference to other nation states where sodomy is explicitly criminalized, right, or sexual acts between women or between men, and where gender nonconformity, where those things are criminalized, the way discrimination takes place in the Dominican Republic is much more indirect. So people can be rounded up in public spaces if their conduct is seen as an affront to public morality. That has happened numerous times to LGBT youth who tend to hang out in public parks, right? Because public parks are for everybody, but then LGBTQ youth like take over those spaces and want to hang out and spend time together on the weekends in the way that all young people like to hang out in spaces on the weekends, you know? And then, you know, if there's a complaint from somebody who has any sort of connection to the police, like they can simply call the police and say, this group of people is an affront to public morality, and that group of people will be arrested, right? Things that have happened, for example, have been the publication of people's names. So people will be rounded up in gay clubs and their names will be published in newspapers and they will be subsequently fired from their job. In schools, children generally get, especially transgender children and gender nonconforming children, get ridiculed by their peers, by teachers, right? Sometimes to the point where they end up dropping out because they can't sustain life in that context, in the hostility of that context. I've also had friends and colleagues, right, who had to drop out of college because, again, noted the universities and the majority of colleges are also Catholic, right? So, and Christian. So they had to drop out of college because the harassment that they were receiving from their professors who would just fail them because they were gay, you know, like that kind of, it's very indirect, right? So it's also like being harassed on the streets. For transgender activists and people in general, it's also the assumption that they're all sex workers. Many are, because they can't get formal jobs because the Dominican law does not allow anybody to change their name legally except through marriage. If your documents, the documents that you had at birth, don't match up with how you present, right, and your gender identity as an adult, there's no way for you to get formal employment. So, you know, those are some examples.
That's Anna Maureen Lara, author of the book Streetwalking, LGBTQ Lives and Protest in the Dominican Republic, with us on Joy 94.9, broadcasting live for our very first time from Victoria's Pride Centre, Australia's first Pride Centre, actually. I'm intrigued with Dominican Republic because there is this respect for difference within the family setting, within the social setting, but in public, you've got to, you know, you've got to cover up. You've got to tuck your rainbow away.
Well, I think we've talked about this before, and we see that in some communities where it's, you know, it's fine in your family, but as soon as it's outside, you're the other. You know, it's this other.
Like in Asian cultures, it's often come up before that, you know, it's about the reputation of the family. This seems to be a bit different, though.
I don't know that. Yeah, I mean, from what you're saying, it's a bit different. I think it's you relate more to people you know, and it's, I think, that's how I took it.
But. And the influence of the church. So the church, a cardinal is a part of the military, and they have a say in every part of, you know, the legislative agenda. And, oh, my gosh.
Well, I mean, it's not very surprising, really. I mean, it's like that in a lot of countries. And it's the fact that church and states are not separate.
No. That's but, well, I mean, this is like clear. Wedded. This is completely
yes.
together.
Yes. But, I mean, it from the outside, the Dominican Republic looks like a religious state, yeah. a religious place, and I guess from what she's saying, it is the influence of the religion is massive
in every part of society. Mm. Yeah, we talk a bit more about that coming up. In fact, coming up, we're going to look at the ways that the LGBTIQ community is fighting back in the Dominican Republic. You're listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Turn us on and we'll turn it out. Joy.
Hello, this is Wolfgang from Conchitaburst City, which is Vienna in Austria. You listen to Worldwide Wave from Joy 94.9.
For centuries, the influence of the church reached into every part of daily life in the Dominican Republic. And that means it has a heavy influence on the progress of basic LGBTQ rights. That influence also extends to the police force, where you cannot be a police officer if you're LGBT. Anna Maureen Lara, author of the book Streetwalking, LGBTQ Lives and Protest in the Dominican Republic, has been explaining the ease with which anyone who offends so-called public morality can be reported to the police. We ask Anna Maureen if there was any recourse legally for LGBTQ people for these reported breach of morality.
No, and I mean, we have a non-discrimination clause in the Constitution. And there are laws that protect young people, like, so the laws that do protect LGBT people are encoded in the youth laws and that say that, you know, you can't necessarily be arrested for holding hands if you're the same sex couple. but that doesn't translate into what actually happens, right? So police will arrest people who kiss in public, who hold hands in public, right? And so a lot of the activism by LGBT activists has been kiss-ins, where people kiss in public and people hold hands in public, right? As a way of protesting the harassment they get from the cops. And so, yes, you're absolutely right. Like, you don't generally have recourse. You can't generally call the police and say, you know, I'm being thrown out of my house because my landlord found out I'm gay. You can't even be gay as a police officer, right? So, like, there are all of these dimensions that make it really hard. And really, the ways in which people navigate this are all based on personal relationships, right? So people work really hard to develop personal relationships that are meaningful as a way to protect themselves and protect the people they love, you know? And family becomes really important in that, because if anyone can protect you, your family can, right? The police aren't going to protect you. The police aren't going to protect most people, especially if you're poor, if you're dark-skinned, or if you're LGBTQ. So there's definitely no protections for employment discrimination. I mean, to even be employed as a woman, right? For me as a woman, like, most ads you'll see, like, for a lot of companies will be a woman of good presence between ages 18 to 38. And she, you know, generally, even if she's Black, her hair has to be straightened. She has to present extremely femininely and wear makeup and, you know, basically conform to, like, a very tight definition of womanhood.
Wow. For the LGBT community, is there any degree of visibility either at that personal level of people coming out or in the media? And in the media, is it always negative?
Well, I mean, that's something that the LGBTQ collectivity and community seeks to really undo, is the constant negativity, right? Or this idea that somehow the Dominican Republic is exceptionally homophobic and transphobic, right? Like, it's not exceptionally homophobic or transphobic at all. Like, I think it's fair to say that LGBTQ people across the world, we deal with discrimination. It's just the difference is that we don't, in the DR, we don't have all the laws in place to protect us, right? And so, you know, we can't even talk about marriage because we still don't have some basic protections, but we've had amazing activists. So since 2001, there have been public yearly pride events, right? So the first time it was like people gathering in a public plaza just to be together and to make a statement. And then, like, last, you know, before the pandemic in 2019, it was like this huge parade with, like, thousands of people and musicians and artists coming out in support of LGBTQ people. So, you know, there is that kind of global pride event that happens in the DR that's about celebrating pride in queerness and pride. You know, there's always a trans queen, a transgender queen, and a transgender king, right? Like, also, like, celebrating the spectrum of our communities. And then we've had people who've run as political, like, for political positions, district representatives who are out. We've had people who've come out on television, right, attempting to open a dialogue and a space since 2001. We've had lesbian activists since the 1980s have published journals and zines and, you know, and things that they share to create spaces for women to, like, speak with each other. Gay men have been incredibly critical in the fight against HIV on the island. It's because of gay men that I think that the general population has access to HIV medications, because of all the advocacy and all the hard work that gay men did to get HIV on the map and to say, no, this is not just something that affects us, this affects everybody. And so really putting themselves out there in terms of legislation and political activism, also fighting for, like, expanding rights, attempting to expand rights for young people in education, right? So to protect young people in schools. That's a fight that's been going on. You know, there's currently a struggle to get protections around gender identity, for example. And right now, there's a lot of work that's happening just around redefining what human rights means in the local context. So I want to especially mention Rosana Marzan from Diversidad Dominicana, Dominican Diversity, who is, for me, a personal hero and really incredible, and established the first LGBT human rights organization that's explicitly about political education, advocacy on human rights, and basically creating teams of lawyers to bring breaches of civil and human rights to the national conversation. I mean, there is a lot of work that happens. There's a lot of incredible work that happens. It's really positive, really, really amazing.
it feeds nicely into your book. So advocacy, the book is called Streetwalking, LGBTQ Lives and Protests in the Dominican Republic. What is streetwalking?
Well, it's everything you imagine it to be and more. So in that book, I'm theorizing this idea that at any point, any of us can be subjected to the violence of the Christian colonial state. So in one moment, we can be walking down the street and, you know, we're living our lives. And in the next moment, because we hold our partner's hand or we kiss our partner or because something like figures us as different, right, as not fitting in with that Christian colonial ideal of manhood, of womanhood, and of heterosexuality, then we become objectified. Our position, our subject changes, right, in the public space. But streetwalking is also the process, is the brilliance and the beauty of LGBTQ people who take up space in public and who refuse to back down from who we are, right? Like we, in my case, you know, like we, and by we, I'm including myself, like who say, I refuse to conform, right? I refuse to deny my truth. And in that agency and in that power of self-acceptance and self-love and recognition of myself and the other, I'm going to take up space in the street and I am going to make home in the street and I am going to insist on relationship with you and I'm going to insist on our capacity to connect on a human level. The streetwalking refers to those two dynamics, the dynamics of like at any point, any of us could be configured as a streetwalker in the full sense of the term. And then the agentive practices of LGBTQ peoples, you know, in particular, the ways in which we flip the script, right? We turn the meaning out, we re-signify, we change the meaning of interactions, you know, where we confront the violence we experience and we say, no, like, I don't accept you name calling me, you know, where we say something out loud about police harassing us in public and where we gather and form collectivities. It's all of that.
Dominican Republic-born author and poet Anna Maureen Lara with us on Joy 94.9. I love the concept of streetwalking. I love reclaiming, you know, what is... what people try to portray as something bad and saying, well, no, we're going to claim that. And all the brilliance and the beauty of the LGBT people in acting in defiance.
Yeah, no, I think it's probably the only way or one of the way to make changes, to reclaim this thing that was portrayed as negative.
Yeah.
And to make it part of it. I mean, that's how we reclaim some of the word queer, you know, all this kind of things, trying to... Yeah, true. I don't know.
Absolutely. And when you've got a situation with like the employment ads for women, how they can be so blatantly discriminatory. And I know we had that here years ago, but we have moved on. I think wherever you have these kinds of discrimination, the thing that keeps me going on this show is that you will always find activists who say no.
Yeah.
We're going to fight that. We're going to change it.
And I think that's what's good. But the show is that we find these stories and that actually changing people's lives there. So, you know, she's making the difference by exposing all this, by talking about it, by, you know, shining a little bit of a light on this fantastic thing that happened.
Taking it out of the hiding space and bringing it into the public domain, making people aware, making them see that there are LGBT people out there. And a good old kiss in as well. Don't you love that?
Yes.
We've got more coming up with Anna Maureen Lara as she shares her personal journey to becoming an activist for queer rights in the Dominican Republic. You're on Joy 94.9 on World Wide Wave.
joy.org.au, where our diverse communities can come together across the nation. Across the globe. Joy.
Hi, this is Costa Gavrielidis, the president of Accept LGBT Cyprus, and you're on the World Wide Wave.
And it's the show that takes you around the globe, one queer story at a time, World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9. A special hello to everybody that's listening to us on podcast. You can subscribe to receive our podcast automatically, either at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. And don't forget to leave us a review.
Now, Stefan, we're getting a bit of love coming in on the messages, which is fantastic. Jamie from Moorabbin says we're doing a magnificent job.
Oh, thank you, Jamie.
Well done. And we're getting lots of happy cheer from 640 as well. Love receiving your messages and appreciate the support as we get to know our new studio here at the Victorian Pride Centre. And just before we move on, I did want to do a little call out, because to move a radio station is an incredible feat. And there have been a group of volunteers working so hard to make that happen. And Michael, our chief tech guy, has been here insane hours to get us all on air here. So big round of applause. Thank you very much to that team for bringing us here to the Victorian Pride Centre. And you out there will get to come here very shortly when the official opening occurs.
Joy 94.9.
We've been hearing tonight about the life, the challenges, and the progress of LGBTQ people in the Dominican Republic from the author of a book that's titled Streetwalking, LGBTQ Lives and Protest in the Dominican Republic. Her name is Anna Maureen Lara. We love discovering where the seeds of activism start in so many brave LGBTQ leaders around the world. And given that Anna Maureen is the daughter of a United Nations diplomat, we wondered if this had an impact on her resolve to become a voice for queer people in the Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm. I would say that my parents were very politically engaged people. So they fostered political engagement from a very young age, not necessarily around LGBTQ or feminism or LGBT issues or feminism, right? Much more around like geopolitical dynamics, like the Cuban Revolution or like Latin American dictatorships, right? And so there's always this political awareness in our lives and in our conversations as a family. And then I think that there's a personality issue, right? Like in the sense that I since I was very young, justice is really important for me. You know, this manifested in like making sure that everybody in the space always had equal access to French fries, you know, or like whatever. I mean, it's just a personality thing. But really, my activism started in my high school. I went to high school in Mount Vernon, New York, which is right outside of New York City. And I went to high school at a time when the United States was grappling with the first introduction to multicultural education. And the multicultural education curriculum was not accepted because of Leslie Newman's Heather Has Two Mommies, right? So this was a book that talked about lesbian parenting. And it was going to be introduced as part of the curriculum on multicultural education. And there was this huge protest and, you know, desire to not include any of the books as a result of the fact that people were seeking to include that book. And I was 15, I already knew I was gay. And because I was right outside New York City, it was really easy for me to access club spaces. I'm not going to say that, you know, club spaces and street spaces. I'm not saying that I went to like youth organizations. That was not happening. But, you know, just being part of like, you know, the club culture and the street culture and, you know, just kind of and seeing what was happening to us in those spaces at the same time that I was in school. Club kid by night, you know, school kid by day. Like, you know, I was like in school and seeing all of this protest around the multicultural curriculum, I became one of those students who was working with other students to try and get this curriculum adopted. And so really my activism started with questions of racial justice and economic justice. And as I stepped further and further into my very gay life, I started seeing how, at the time, the lack of access to HIV medication and information, because, you know, I came into life in 1990, it was pre-protease inhibitors, right? And so that really shaped my understanding of myself as a gay person, as a lesbian, like watching the ways in which racial and economic injustice shaped people's access to medical care, to information, and to medication, and watching my friends die. And that was really hard. And so it really, you know, all of that's happening simultaneously. Student by day, club kid by night, watching like the rainbow curriculum fall apart, you know, the movement for the multicultural education fall apart. and then stepping into this life, like, as, you know, as people are fighting, literally fighting for their lives, throwing themselves on the grounds of the church, throwing themselves on the street, chaining themselves to pharmaceutical companies and saying, we demand access, we demand research, we demand our rights.
Now, looking to the future, is the situation changing? And what really are your hopes for the Dominican Republic's LGBT community?
Oh, wow, that's an incredibly profound question. You know, I feel like part of me wants to defer to my colleagues who are in the middle of the fight there, right? Like, I'm one step removed. I live in the United States. I'm a scholar who's also, you know, engaged in activism. And so I don't want to presume to have a sense of the future of the movement, but I'll try and answer your question by saying that I just want us to be able to have full lives. So whatever that means for people, you know, I want people to have access to their documents, right? So that they can secure employment and they can secure housing. It's so basic, really. I would like there to be education, right? Like in high schools and in colleges, I would like people to have access to their history and to have access to their stories. You know, I would like the Catholic Church explicitly to take a public stance in support of LGBTQ people and to bring along Christian churches with them, you know, to say, like, we support your lives. You know, I would like the Methodist Church that is in the DR to, like, be pro, you know, not the branch that is anti-LGBTQ, but to be the one that's pro. Like, you know, like, just let us live, you know, and, like, create the conditions for us to have healthy and full lives. Yeah, that's what I hope for.
Anna Maureen Lara, author of Streetwalking, LGBTQ Lives and Protest in the Dominican Republic. Thanks for streetwalking with us tonight on World Wide Wave.
Thank you, Matt and Stefan. This has been lovely. This is really special.
I'm such a fanboy of Anna Maureen Lara now, let me tell you. What a great guest. That quote really sticks with me. Activism shaped my understanding of myself.
Yeah, it's fantastic that she had that, the role models from the parents, from all that, she was able to do that.
And take a path and be bold and all those things, and that sort of enriched her as a person. I really love asking that question of many of the people we speak to, because they've all got different drivers, but it's a powerful drive, it's a passion. There was something there too that sort of resonated a little bit with me about Australia, that spirit, there's this spirit of fairness that's driving the activism, that, you know, what's happening is not fair, and that's kind of a bit of an Australian thing.
Yes, and we need to change it, yeah. But I think it drives a lot of activism. This, I mean, can you, if you I can't find a way. If you're living with
it's just wrong
unfairness things, can you just carry on and not do something about it? I mean, a lot of people.
There's a lot of reasonable people in the world who will look at the situation and go, "That's not right." You know, even though I might be coming from a position of privilege, I can see that it's not fair to others. There's different levels, there's different types of discrimination going on there. It's not just the LGBT community in Dominican Republic, there's race discrimination, there's gender discrimination.
But we've seen that's a lot of the time the gender and the LGBT and the race, they all go together.
I mean, exactly.
It's just so common.
And the flip side of that is when those groups that are impacted work together, when women's groups and various racial groups work together with the LGBT community, you're talking big numbers. It's a louder voice.
Yeah, and then you enact more changes. I mean, it's not easier, but it's a bigger mass where people can't ignore you, really.
And a beautiful vision to finish on, to be able to have full lives. It's really not too much to ask,
I don't think. No, it's just being, yes.
Now, as I said, we had such a wonderful time chatting to Anna Marine during the week, so much so that we went way over time, and we're going to put out an extended podcast. So there's more. She talks about, you know, power relationships and storytelling and how important it is in the Dominican Republic. So we'll podcast that tomorrow night. It should be on air at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or your favorite podcast channel. And you can also grab the book, Streetwalking, LGBTQ Lives and Protests in the Dominican Republic by Anna Maureen Lara.
And we'll put a link to that book or to where to get the book and what the book is on our Facebook site.
Absolutely.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hi, I'm Bisi Alimi and I'm fighting for LGBT rights of people in Nigeria. It's great to know we have friends and supporters like you at Joy 94.9.
Had a lovely message in from a good friend of the show, Young Fa Liao, from the Ooga Chugga LGBT Counselling Service in Singapore, who noticed the photos that we put up of the Pride Centre on our Facebook page. If you go to W3Joy on Facebook or World Wide Wave, you'll see those. A bit of a sneak preview. He says, how you like your fancy new digs? Send me photos of the gift shop, please. I promise to send him something once the place opens. I'm sure there'll be somebody will be selling. We'll be selling souvenirs.
Keyrings.
We'll make money.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like World Wide Wave on Facebook now.
And a huge thank you today to Anna Marine Lara, author of the book Streetwalking, LGBTQ Lives and Protest in the Dominican Republic. You can find the book at Harris Hyenas in Melbourne, the bookshop in Sydney, or your favourite online bookstore, or not online. There's fantastic bookstores everywhere.
Go in person. We've just posted the link to all that on our Facebook page too. Speaking of Facebook, James, Yanira, Youngfar, Daniel, and a heap more who've joined or interacted with us on Facebook. It's W3Joy is the shortcut.
Behind the scenes, our podcaster, Peter, and also our social media master, Dean.
We'll catch you next week on World Wide Wave.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.